Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer. I'm here live at the Aspire Business Tour, the number one business tour in the world. And I have the number one charitable entrepreneur in the world, Christian LaFleur. He's the founder, CEO of Instant Nonprofit. Welcome to the Playbook.
Thanks, David. Great to be here.
You know, it's so interesting because you know my mission and my motto: make a lot of money for the sake of helping a lot of people and having a lot of fun. And I think ultimately when we strive to make a lot of money, it's usually for the sake of nonprofit, something that's charitable.
Absolutely.
And as a lawyer, myself, recovering lawyer at least, it's a lot more complex than a lot of people realize when they try to do good because they're doing well and they have good intentions. A high percentage of people that I know, including my athletes who were required to have a foundation or a nonprofit created when we represented them at Lee Steinberg, they quit on it because it's just too cumbersome, difficult, slow, and they don't understand it. You have created that bond, that solution with Instant Nonprofit. When did you start it and where did you see this huge hole that existed between people and their intentions and executing on those intentions?
I mean, when I was 8 years old, I was playing in the back in my house in New Jersey, which got knocked down for a big famous mall now. But we lived in a log cabin, single mom with my sister. My sister was not developing verbally at almost 4 years old. So my mom took her to the doctor and found out that even though she looked normal, nothing appeared physically wrong, she was developmentally disabled. And she's still nonverbal to this day. But I'll tell you what, she's one of the best humans you've ever met. She just won medal again in Special Olympics on Friday, and she's going to mark her 50th year in Special Olympics in a few weeks. So I grew up around people just assuming that when someone has a difficulty, a challenge, whatever, that the thing to do is just to rally people around them and create awesome things like Special Olympics or whatever, the innumerable nonprofits. And, you know, fish don't know the water they're swimming in. We are all swimming in a civil society made of voluntary nonprofits. Right, government has never been in the position to do everything for us. It's been voluntary people getting together and deciding to raise a barn, right? You think of Quakers, they still raise barns together, right? The best things that we've ever experienced are when people's hearts are into something and they create a solution to help others, right? And that's when we feel our best. And nonprofit's simply an expression of that. So like you said, it's not about the structure, it's about the spirit. And so if somebody does want to start a nonprofit, even your athletes who had resources and, you know, some money and some ability to have people do things for them, if they run into trouble, imagine what every person, right, the average person runs into, especially nonprofit founders who tend to be empaths. They tend not to be hardcore, you know, business leaders, right? Most of the nonprofits that we start are for people who are just have a calling. They're already serving somehow. They're finding homes for foster dogs out of their garage, right? They're not trying to do, and then they realize, well, I need some structure. I need to be able to raise money. I need to be able to get dog food given to this cause. And they come to us. And so what I love is that I can't teach the heart, but I can teach the business skills and I can remove those barriers to creating that nonprofit and getting it up and running, operationalizing, and even getting it funded. And that's what I love to do because I love to see the light go on in people's eyes when they realize they can go focus on their mission.
And you've done it for over 5,000 nonprofits, an incredible impact that you must feel, you know, my model of find 1,000 to empower 1,000 to empower 1,000.
Absolutely.
This is right aligned with that. When you are impacting 5,000 different nonprofits and the millions of people that are going to receive assistance for whatever purpose, cause, or charity that these 5,000 nonprofits that never would have been in existence. You talked about the barriers, though, and there's a lot of them. And one of the barriers that I found my athletes quit on was time. It just frustrated them. It just took way too much time, and eventually they lost their momentum and their inspiration. How much time before we had Instant Nonprofit, on average, did it take to set up a nonprofit?
The IRS used to publish this. I don't believe it's on their website anymore, but they would estimate 20 to 50 hours to create a nonprofit. And that's doesn't account, like the uncertainty. It's even more of a barrier when something's uncertain. If someone, you know, and studies show now that they're able to do all this neuroscience proves like ancient wisdom all the time.
Right.
But that's kind of funny.
I'm so with you.
So they've shown that when people can't picture themselves doing something or succeeding at something, they don't say no, they defer.
Mm.
And they defer and they defer and then they die. And so my dream is to have people no longer defer making that decision, answer that call, however busy they are, whether they have a business, a family, a disability. I have people call me, you know, talk to our team. I'm getting out of prison. I just got out of prison, but I don't know if I can, I'm allowed to start a nonprofit, right? And everyone, you owe the money to the IRS. You could help people learn how not to have that happen to them. You get out of prison, you can help people avoid prison or avoid recidivism, right? Only people who walk the miles can help someone else in, you know, from that perspective. And that's what's so beautiful about this, removing all these barriers, removing that time that it takes, and making it so our average customer spends less than 30 minutes in the entire process of the creating the nonprofit, because we make this so smooth and we do all of the things that they need. There is nothing missing. We do the bylaws, the articles, all that stuff, conflict of interest. And then moreover, we don't just do what's required. We don't just hand you some paperwork. We don't just sell you the treadmill and then say good luck, and then it goes in the garage and they stay fat. We give them the tools to succeed beyond what we need to do for them, the paperwork. So we teach them to run a board meeting without reading Robert's rules, because who wants to do that? Without hiring a lawyer, no offense. I almost went to law school myself. I taught Kaplan on my way to law school, and I realized I can learn to raise money. I can learn to do strategy. I can learn to do so many things and then have a lawyer do what I can't do, which is write and file the brief. And so I've done all kinds of things in the legal world because of that. And what I realized is you could create a force multiplier if you can learn what the true leverage points are and solve those for people. And like with Yannick Silver with his 1,000 sons, we helped. That's the idea, right? 1,000 sons, 1,000 times 1,000. And our mission is to help 100,000 founders by 2035 unlock not only the nonprofit structure, but then I have a stealth mission. So hope you're not publishing this. My stealth mission is to help people understand the divinity inside them so they can help 5,000 kids in Haiti instead of 50. And that's where you go from 100,000 nonprofit founders by 2035 to 100 million to a billion people served.
Aligned with my mission of empowering over a billion people to be happy in that same process beyond the amount of time reduced to 30 minutes. And through the support that you give in the process, the approval was always a bigger problem than even the 50 or 100 hours conservatively that it took to create and apply. But the approval process, even if approved, took so long, and the statistical success was actually a lower variance than most people could witness or see them actually effectuating. So how have you been able to reduce that resistance in the approval process?
Absolutely. So we track on a weekly meeting, all hands meeting, I'm there every week, and we track to the day how many days it takes for us to get approval. So the IRS is average.
Not weeks, months, and years.
Days. The IRS's average is 10 to 11 months for the 1023 long form, for example, which is one of many. That's not the only process. That's just the final process of tax exempt status. You have to do a lot of things on the way there, and all those pieces need to be in place, where that thing is going to go in that needs more work pile. And you're going to hear from an IRS agent, which nobody wants to do, whether it's tax time or in this process.
Yeah.
So we're at 18 and 68 days, I believe, right now for the short form and the long form to get approval by the IRS. But what most people don't even realize is that they can start fundraising right now immediately upon incorporation. But how are you going to articulate that as a nonprofit founder to the people that might want to give you money if it's buried in the Internal Revenue Code somewhere, right? That's their policy to do that. We provide a memo to our customers quoting the IRS policy so that they can give that in lieu of that IRS approval letter. They can give that to their donors and say, you know what, you can give me money now, and I'm going to follow up with that tax exempt letter later, because the IRS by policy backdates tax exempt status to the date of incorporation. Once we unlock that, it blows people's minds and they're able to get after it. And you and I both know people need to act inside of a honeymoon period. When they're excited about something, you got to catch that wave, get on that surfboard and ride that puppy. And so if we can help people collapse this time and then empower them with the things that they can actually do to get forward momentum, the world is going to be changed at a much greater rate. And boy, don't we need it.
More than ever. And creating a neighborhood of people is part of the mission that I'm on, people who want to help each other and know people that help each other. Speaking of helping each other, there's another component since the inception of your company of technology. And we're at the precipice of being able to be more efficient, more effective, and statistically successful. How are you guys leveraging AI? Has to be a common question into the instant nonprofit process.
I love that question. And everyone talks, most of what you hear about AI is it's going to make us more productive, right? But as you know, productivity is not what lights up the human soul. Mm-hmm. Yes, we can get more done, but don't we get more done today with cars and with technology and everything than we ever have, but we feel behinder than we ever have.
So I got to give you a great quote from Wayne Dyer. He said, "It takes longer to get today to get from one side of London to the other than it did when there was horses and buggies."
That's absolutely true.
Right? That's the analogy for technology, isn't it?
I commute to my office on an e-bike for that very reason, because right that on. Bicycle trail has no red lights.
Right, man. On.
I'll beat you every time. So there are two sides, or at least the AI is a multifaceted jewel, just like humans are. There's so many different ways to look at it. But one of the primary ways I look at it is, yes, we are implementing AI throughout Instant Nonprofit to automate the processes, which we've been doing since 2018. We were virtual and we lived on Zoom and hired the best talent from around the world before the pandemic. We used automation before anyone heard of any of these tools, and we've been using AI since the beginning. And what that's allowed us to do is free up our humans to give the love, encouragement, to see and hear people in a way they never have been by a business before. That's our mission, because that's going to get them to, earn that trust. So that after the nonprofits started, if they need more help, they know they can trust us to help them with the next step of operationalizing, the next step of fundraising, the next step of where do I get grants? Where can I get help to make this thing real? And so, as you know, once you start a nonprofit, your problems have only begun in a way, because now you have all of these other things that you need to do. And people need to be able to trust in this world. And that's one thing that AI can't do, is create that relationship. But one thing it can do, besides make things way more productive from, the filing and the productivity perspective, is I've been using AI, and our whole team has, to understand humans better. There is a subtext in every conversation. I can learn about your heart by listening to the transcription of this recording and then asking AI, what turns on David? What does he see as a problem? How can I help him in a way that he isn't even aware of, or maybe didn't state in our conversation? And so I've been trying that and really successfully with our team. And I look for the subtext. How can I make this person's life better in a way that they didn't even describe to me through all of these team meeting transcripts? We record everything now. But just like I was at Metallica and all these people have their phones up and they're recording the thing, and I'm like, they're not present to what's going on right now, right? Are they ever going to watch that recording?
Right.
But we can watch these recordings, and it's our job to do so in our business and in any area of life where we can extract from that how to love people better. And that's what I love to do with AI, is learn how to love people better by querying against my conversations. And I can also see my blind spots. I can load those transcripts into a tool, and then I can ask it, where's my blind spot? Where am I not listening to this person enough? Where is the energy in this conversation that I might have missed it? And it is shocking what AI will tell me about how I can learn how to love and listen better.
It's interesting, because I've been in technology since 1992, when Justice Scalia told me directly that nobody will ever use a computer to do research. You needed books because of his understanding of technology and looking for what he didn't want in the technology, which so many people do. I see all technology, especially AI, and you're the one who have articulated this better than anyone on my podcast. It makes humans more human. If that's what you intend to do with AI, to make humans more human. And I love the aspect that you're looking to see, how you can make David Meltzer and Kristen LaForn look human from just contextual data that can be manipulated and assimilated to the betterment of all. As we finish up, there's a lot to do in this mission of empowering over a billion people to be happy and creating a neighborhood of size, scope, and scale of people that want to help each other and know people that help each other. You have a lot of the business side to help the successful nonprofits, the larger ones that are existing. You started in the formation side, moving into the shared vision, but now you're able and capable of helping large entities be more impactful. What are some of the things you can do for larger size nonprofits that already exist?
Absolutely. Just like the founder of Toyota has a great story, right? The U.S. would drop their gas, their fuel cans when they flew over, and they would get all this scrap steel from the war. And the founder of Toyota used that scrap steel. But he had more than a vision to just create an automotive or an industrial company. He had a set of values and a commitment to excellence that made Toyota the most reliable car company in the world, right? But then eventually, Toyota saw that there was a whole market not being served who were buying Range Rovers and buying expensive vehicles like Mercedes that, unfortunately, for all their cost, are not as reliable as the Toyota. And we've done the same thing. We have built this engine, this platform for good. And now on top of that, we've served people at a high level, and we're able to help them do things like create an operational system, create a system where they can effortlessly create standard operating procedures so that when the founder does something once the right way, because the founder is always the committed one and they have the vision, they can hand that off to a volunteer, a staff member, or a board member to do that again the right way. So if we start building companies and we start building nonprofits and our lives like this, then we can multiply. Again, technology makes it much easier than writing down all the things you need to do. And so we help people operationalize. We also help them write grants. And there are amazing AI tools. We're working with some of the brightest minds in Silicon Valley who have created grant-making AI tools to match the grant, do the letter of intent, access the grant, and report the grant, the entire life cycle of the grant. Imagine that if we could stay focused on our mission and have all these things that are barriers to us succeeding be automated and replicated so that we can really do what the calling is on our heart. And I know that so many people who start businesses, so many people who start nonprofits wish they could spend more time in the field serving the people they originally, you know, that there was their original mission. And that's our mission, is to help you focus on your mission. And even if no one listening starts a nonprofit, and I hope you all do, I love the idea that these tools are meant to make us more human. AI is taking over in so many ways. It's got a lot of people concerned, but you'll never be out of a job if you can help people learn to use AI in order to listen and to love better. And the punchline of the Toyota story, I forgot, yeah. I'm sorry,
cool,
is that we've created iconicimpact.ai. And what that does is take people who are starting a nonprofit and want to accelerate their progress, the sports figures, celebrities, et cetera, people who want to accelerate their progress. That's that Lexus of the Toyota brand.
There we go.
That can serve people who are ready to do so much more, but don't have a trustworthy place to go. So I wanted to mention that because
you're not playing with the scraps anymore. We're the Lexus of nonprofits as well. Very good.
They're all a sacred trust. Neighborhood or global, we treat everyone with the same amount of love and care.
We all need to listen and love better. And it's great entrepreneurs like Kristen LaFleur that founded companies and lead companies as the CEO of Instant Nonprofit. Being more efficient, more effective, and statistically successful is a small part of being more human. And I can't think of anything more human than being able and capable of helping others, being purposeful and intentional about what you care about the most. I wish there was Instant Nonprofit when I ran Lee Steinberg, the notable sports agency, as we put our requirement on each of our young athletes to start a charitable purpose or cause that meant a lot to them. And we had so many hiccups and hangovers that just don't exist today because of Instant Nonprofit. If you're interested in following your heart, but afraid of the logistical nightmare that you've heard about, it's all now gone. It's ease, not dis-ease, with Instant Nonprofit. The extraordinary Kristen LaFleur, thank you so much for joining me here at the Aspire Business Tour. We are blessed to have you on the playbook.